The episode you're about to listen to is from an unreleased episode of an earlier incarnation of the Away Team. These were Adam and I's first impressions of Star Trek Discovery back in 2017. There may be issues with events and future events within the show, but this hasn't been heard since it was deleted from the internet back in 2018. Sit back and enjoy.
Captain Archer of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
My name is Catherine Janeway.
Prune juice, chill.
Welcome to the Away Team, a Star Trek podcast. A podcast that is designed to comment and critique each episode of Star Trek in canonical order, with a bit of a twist.
Cry, you sing it too much.
Yeah, I know, right?
Start feeling that shit.
Start feeling like this. Oh, you know?
I thought it was funny because when I first heard that theme song, I was like, this is the worst fucking Star Trek theme song I've ever heard in my life.
Right?
And then it just grows on you, and you're just like, this is the best theme song ever.
I know, right? I remember watching the pilot, and then I was watching that, and I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, I hope this isn't something they're going to, like, maybe this is just for this episode. That was my hope, that it was just for that episode. And yeah, then by the end, you're like going, I got faith. It's like, it's that earworm that just gets stuck.
You're all like, oh shit. It just gets you at the soul of your very essence. You know what I mean? Like, you're just like, oh, this is beautiful.
I mean, you know, there's nothing like this one, though. This was the Enterprise. This was Star Trek Enterprise in the mirror, darkly opening title when they did that. And it's all battle.
That was so dope when they did that, when they changed the whole intro and shit.
Yeah, you see like all the like. You saw the mirror emblem, and you see all the wars and battle footage and stuff like that. You're kind of like, because I remember when I first heard that, I was like going, oh, are they going to go back to that? And then I was like, nope, we're just doing a straight mirror episode. You know, and it was just like, okay, since it's not the regular Star Trek, we'll just go ahead and make it, you know, full battle and, you know, all that stuff. It was cool. And then, of course, Hot Hoshi.
Ooh, that midriff though, yeah. Was too much, bro. I was like, oh my god, this girl's so fucking hot.
And then when I just sent you her regular Starfleet uniform for Happy Tuesday or something like that?
Yeah. I was like, oh.
Like, there we go. All right, welcome to the Away Team presents Star Trek Discovery. Star Trek Discovery.
Welcome to the Hoshi Appreciation Podcast.
Right. Yeah. Our podcast that solely devotes around Hoshi.
Oh.
Because she's the only character in Star Trek we're talking about.
I don't know about all that, but, you know, I like where you're going.
Exactly. And this is our recap special discussing the latest episodes of Star Trek Discovery. Oh, I got the hiccups there.
Ooh.
So let's see what happens when we talk about Hoshi. I get all flustered.
Oh, Hoshi.
Why do you say it like that?
I don't know. Because I'm that excited. And then I put Hoshi into Google, and it's this South Korean musician, and it's a dude, and it just hurts my feelings. Let me add Star Trek to the end. There you go. Hoshi Sato.
Played by
Linda Pack.
I remember I kept wanting to say Yoshi, and I'm like, wait, no, that's Mario Brothers. That's not the same It's not the same person.
If you look up Linda Park, there's some photos that are there.
There's some photos that are there.
Yeah. So excuse me for a few minutes. No,
I'm just kidding. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
So this week things got crazier. I mean, last week we had the confirmation of, you know, of Volk and Ash Tyler, and now we have the confirmation of that other theory that we spoke about Captain Lorca being
basically any theory we say is going to happen at this point. But that's where we're at.
Was interesting though is, you know, we kind of agreed with it and we're like, oh yeah, I could see that. But then I said, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were together in the Mirror Universe. And that was confirmed too. It was like you can't fuck with us, basically, is what we're trying to say.
You don't want to fuck with me. Oh yeah, motherfucker.
Oh man. So the episode is a real fast episode. Like, I think Memory Alpha clocked the episode at just under 38 minutes. Only the shortest episode since the final episode of Star Trek, the animated series from 1974.
It's weird that they're doing that now. Like, it used to be shows had specific times. And now it's like, oh, we'll just do this one shorter.
Yeah, or longer. This one longer. Well, because, you know, you're not really... That's the one thing that bothers me about this is, why do we have those act breaks? Like, you get that little thing and then the screen goes black for a couple of seconds and then it comes back up like the new act. It's like, let's just do it all in one act. When we, you know, you have Netflix and you have all these other shows, or even the UK where don't have commercials, you just make it a movie script. We don't need act structure.
Right.
You know, we don't need the act, because what are we waiting for when we come back? You know, or are you thinking about, and my thought was, maybe they plan on releasing this later, like on TV. You know, so they put the act break in there, so when they want to drop in commercials, or, oh wait, they have a commercial version, don't they?
I don't know.
Like for CBS All Access, like do they have one that you could like get? Like,
I don't think so. I'm gonna look it up. I don't remember,
because that would make sense.
Who the fuck would pay for to watch? Fuck you. Like, you're out of your mind with that. Not you. I'm talking about CBS. Oh, where are the pricing plans? I'm kind of feeling Michael now, too. She's got kind of this intensity that I dig, you know?
What did I tell you earlier this week? I'm feeling a lot of a bit of Tilly and Ash, but mostly Tilly.
Yeah, Ash a little. I mean, who doesn't?
You know, come on.
Fucking heartthrob.
Especially when honest. He sits there and goes, walk, son of no one. You're like, oh.
Son of no. I remember at first I hated the way he spoke Klingon.
Yeah.
And now I just dig it. And I don't know why. I don't really 100% know why.
I don't know either. Because, yeah, at first I was kind of like, ugh. You know, it's like the way they.
It's like you're doing too much.
Yeah, it's like take the balls out
of
your mouth.
Yeah, they do have a commercial. One with commercials.
That's kind of lame.
Because I found a question is, how do I upgrade to commercial free?
Oh, yeah. The commercial free is like $10. And then I think there's like $6 or something.
$6. Yeah.
For the commercial. It's like, what do you spend the extra $3? Come on. Just like, let's.
I mean, CBS, son of no one. I'm sick of this shit. Don't, at least CBS, if you're going to charge me, have shitty shows so I don't feel bad. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'll be like, fuck it, I'll miss me with that bullshit. You know what I mean? But no, I got to have a good show. At least one.
Right. Well, it's like old episodes of Family Guy, like when you watch on Hulu. You watch it completely ad-free. Then you watch a newer one, and then it's like oddly broken in. Like, there's commercial breaks in Hulu. Like, you can see those episodes that have commercials. But they always start the commercial just before the break. And then when it comes back, you get the last tail end of that little second of a break before the break, and then it comes back. You're like, what are you doing? You guys have one job, you know?
Right.
Insert commercials in here. All right, so getting into the Mirror Universe. So Burnham, we catch up with Burnham and Lorca heading out of the Shinzo to the Charon, and they're traveling at warp one. So, you know, we have Michael talking with Burnham, and she gives him an injection that's supposed to, what was it, dull his nerve endings. So the
so it wasn't so painful.
Wasn't so painful for him. And that Saru had decrypted the data on the Defiant, but all that information was redacted. So they have still about as much information as they had before, which kind of sucks. You know, the information on how the Defiant got there has been removed. So, in this, you kind of see Burnham's a little, you know, apprehensive because she's going to see, you know, Philippa again. And there was this nice little exchange where he's like, you know, Philippa you knew is dead. You know, this is a ghost. And then she's like, well, haven't you ever been afraid of ghosts? And I was like, damn.
Like, yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's pretty true. That's pretty fucking true. Then we get to see the full, like, the shuttlecraft arrives at the Charon, and that ship is just massive. I'm wondering where they got that. Like, where did they, you know, how did they acquire that as, like, a, you know, like, I don't know. It's just one of those things of, like, the Emperor needs her own, like, ship. You kind of think she would just, like, be stuck at Earth, you know, but.
Yeah, but I mean.
I mean, it makes sense.
It kind of harkens back to, like,
Romans.
The olden days when we had, yeah, when we had emperors and shit. They were on the battlefield and, you know, these warlords. Yeah. I think she's less of an emperor, more of a warlord. Yeah. That's what it seems like. Because it were in the Mirror Universe, the Terran Empire is perpetually at war. Because any government that uses fear like that has to be at war,
right,
for things to work. Because if there's no war, then people stop to think.
Right. And we can't have that.
Like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of reminds me, I watched this video about and there's a lot of comparisons to be made about the Terran Empire and Nazis, right, in the way they governed. And I watched a video on Nazis where it said that it was like a thought experiment, like, what would the Nazis have done if they won the war and there was no one left to fight? It would have, and most theorists say it probably would have just started falling apart from within.
Yeah,
because there's no way to, you can't keep it going.
Yeah.
Without some kind of threat,
right,
that you're trying to squash, you know.
Yeah, so you perpetually really have to be at war. Yeah, well, yeah, because then, right, the eyes turn inward and then you start falling apart, kind of like the way we are right now.
Right, we have to fight because these people are trying to destroy our way of life, and then those people are gone. It's like, well, why is our life still shit?
It's like, because of these guys.
Because of these new guys. And, oh, fuck, man. There's always someone bothering us.
Why can't we just be left alone?
Leave us alone!
So, we pick up on Discovery where Stamets is... His condition has improved after he started to make that little bit of a recovery at the end of last episode. And Tilly tells, you know, Saru that he's improving on everything. And Saru seems a little pessimistic about the whole thing because, you know, he's like, well, since none of the information came through about the Defiant, it seems at this particular point, the only way back is the spore drive. And if Stamets doesn't, you know, get better quickly, we're kind of fucked. And so, and then at that point, you know, Saru gets pulled over to sick bay, and so, you know, and then it we finally find Stamets finally gets to do something as opposed to just sitting there with, you know, clear eyes and randomly spaying that the enemy's arrived. He's in the spore field, and he comes across his counterpart, which is obvious to the mirror if you notice his uniform, but then he's like, am I dead? And I like how Stamps is like, he goes, yes, is this heaven or something like that? And he's like, yes, and you were wrong about everything, and you were wrong about everything about God, and she's really angry.
Right.
And he's just kind of stares at him, and he's like, he laughs because he's like, I gotcha. So basically what happens is, at the same time that our Stamets, or Stamets Prime, went into his catatonic state, so did the one from the mirror universe. And they're both trapped in this, in the, basically what turns out to be the spore network. And he's trying to figure out, you know, what's going on, that somehow the spore is taking over everything. There's an infection inside the spore field, and that, you know, he was trying to figure it out, but he figured he would need the other Stamets to kind of, you know, locate the exit so they could both, you know, leave. And during that whole thing, I thought it was kind of interesting, because during that whole thing, you start seeing Hugh pop up. And of course he's distracted and goes after Hugh, and the other Stamets like, no, don't, we got shit to do here. And at that point,
he said, like, you have to stay focused or you're going to get lost.
Yeah. And so, now this, one thing that happens is that, I thought Saru kind of had a cool little subplot here. Because Saru gets called to the medical bay, a sick bay, and Ash is going nuts. Like, he's just freaking out. He's talking in Klingon. And they're kind of under the impression that it was a human being brainwashed to thinking he's Klingon.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Saru looks at the doc. He's like, I thought he, you know, like Michael said, that he only thought he was a Klingon. It's like, well, he's, you know, they don't know. They can't get close to him. And then he starts shouting out in Klingon. And then she looks at him and she's like, yeah, that was Klingon. And
it's not only Klingon, but I think we learned a couple episodes ago, too, that it's a dialect of Klingon that's dead,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
because it was when
Valk talked to himself. Yeah, when Ashley goes, yeah, where did you learn that dead language? And yeah, so we get that. But there was that one moment of clarity that you saw him kind of come around, and he goes, Saru, he goes, Commander. And he's like, Saru, how's Michael? He's like, she's fine. And he's like, good. And then all of a sudden he starts kind of going crazy again. And to me, it just seems like both identities are fighting each other. Is kind of what I'm.
Yeah. Like, they both exist.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really weird. Like, it's deep. You know what I mean? Like, it isn't just, oh, he's the bad guy. Dun, dun, dun. You know what I mean? It's, There's some deeper level shit going on
but
here.
But what we also find out, too, is that Ash was actually captured at the Battle of the Twin Stars, the first episode, yep, battle. And they, now she's, the Klingon doctor said that they engrammed his memories of that, of him, and memories and thoughts and stuff like that, into Valk. And so it's kind of like they, and so obviously, you know, there was a real Ash Tyler. So that's why the memories are so detailed, because they took his, you know, memory patterns and put him in Valk. But it seems like they kind of did too good of a job, is what I'm thinking.
It's almost like they cloned his consciousness.
Yeah.
And put it in there, which is fucking ingenious, to be honest. And to make a sleeper agent, that's crazy, because It gives them the upper hand, because at this time Klingons don't seem to know much about human society.
Right.
So he would have been a fucking basket case. Like, yeah, people would have found him out immediately. So it's kind of an interesting way to do it.
But what I liked later on is the fact that I think we'll just kind of discuss it in the storylines instead of going to like episode, you know, the way the episode was written. But then Saru goes and pleads Ash's case to that Klingon doctor, and like how he kind of negotiates, and he's like, oh, you haven't heard, you know, we're not at our home anymore. We're in another universe where the war is over. He's kind of bullshitting her at that point, you know, and he's like, you lost. And, you know, and she's like, lies and stuff like that. And then says that, you know, he's in pain, and, you know,
basically, she gave him that look too, like, why you bullshit?
Yeah.
Like, I was laughing a little bit at that.
And then, but he does perpetuate Starfleet by saying, you know, you can help him, help him. And she's like, you know, he gave himself to the cause. This is what he chose. And she turns her back. And I was like, what a bitch, a cold hearted bitch. But then when Saru comes back, you know, asking her one more time, you know, about helping him, and shows the video of like his chest getting all kind of ripped and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And not a good ripped, not like, you know, hey, look at my chest. You know, it's literally ripping.
maybe a better word would be torn.
Yeah.
Like, torn open.
Yeah. That would probably be better. And I thought Saru was kind of badass in this, where she still declined. So he beams Ash into her cell so she can like see him face to face. And it's like, yeah, it's always easy to talk shit when you're not in front of that person, but suddenly the person's there. And so she agrees to help.
I would have laughed if Saru was like, oh, you're so fucking bad when I beam him into your spot, huh?
Yeah.
You quit talking that shit. I would have been dying.
Oh, I know, right? But she says only she can do it. And it's kind of like, almost seems like they kind of like a mind meld.
It looks like it's more art than technical.
Yeah.
Like there's a finesse to it, you know, and she kind of is the only one that's going to be able to figure it out.
Yeah. Like she kind of, it looked like in some instances she kind of reworked his brain pathways. But the thing was, is that instead of sending him to Valk, she sent him to Ash.
Which was weird.
Yeah, because, you know, he's staying in Klingon, and then suddenly he starts saying it in English. And what I thought was really cool, and what some people might have missed, is I'm assuming at that point, Valk is dead. That she literally killed Valk.
That's what I'm assuming, too.
Because then she did the yell at the end, because remember they did the flashbacks of all of Valk, and then she did that scream at the end. And if you know anything about Trek,
if you on the know, motherfucker, because I picked that up right away too.
Yeah, is that when Klingons shout, that's sending that spirit up to I guess their version of heaven or whatever.
Sovencor,
that's it. But I was like, I heard that, and then I saw the clips, and then I heard her yell. I was like, oh. So I'm thinking Valk is dead now. So now all we have left is Ash. So,
yeah, Klingons don't. For those who don't know, Klingons don't have graveyards or burials. They'll do that scream, and then they don't give a shit about the body anymore.
Yeah,
like it's just an empty shell, as has been said.
If you listen to one of our past episodes that we did with Matter of Honor, I think, was when they said, "Do with the body what you wish," you know.
Yeah.
So, which was set in Star Trek Next Generation. So, see, they're even pulling from there. I was like, nice.
Yes.
So,
canon is canon. Don't matter where it was from.
So we have that that whole deal. So then we go back to Stamets. And, you know, Stamets is trying to figure out, you know, how to get them back. And then, of course, he sees Hugh. So he goes and follows Hugh. The interaction between Hugh and Paul always kind of gets me, because you're like going, oh, that just fucking sucks.
Yeah.
You know, and that whole thing where, you know, he's...
Best scene was too much.
Yeah, because they end up back in his quarters, and he's like, you know, and then Hugh, very self-aware, you know, he knows he's dead, but he's like, of all the times I try to lure you away, you know, with food and stuff like that, you know, you finally come home, and, you know, and he's like, I wanted to, what did he say? He goes, I wanted to go back to the way it was. And then it immediately cuts to them. Well, first of all, Stamets realizes that Hugh is dead, but he kind of thought it was a dream. But then Hugh is like, no, that it really happened. And he goes, I wanted to be the way it was. And then Hugh does the whole, so how was your day? You know? And it was one of those things of like, it's like that kind of, that got me. Like I was like going, oh, cause that's the little shit that you normally, you know, you do. If you've had a relationship with somebody, it's always like the little things, like how was your day? Or what did you do today? Or when they were brushing their teeth in the bathroom, and he's like, you know, I've always enjoyed this part of the day. And basically, you know, he warns him that there's a corruption in the field, and the mirror version, Stamets, is the cause for it. Because what did he say? He goes, you know, because Hugh shows his arm, and then he's like, he goes, the infection's spreading. And he said something about, he goes, about the other Paul, and he goes, well, that bastard deserves it. He's the one that's caused this. Because he was trying to manipulate the spore drive for his own benefit.
Here's my question, though. Hugh seems to know, like, he seems to be more than just a memory.
Right.
Of Stamets. Like, either the whatever the fuck he's in, I can't remember the name of it. It's like just picking something that someone that Stamets will pay attention to.
Well, because
and remember, that's who's talking.
Because remember when he showed up in the forest and then it changed to the ship, and then he goes, "Hey, it's my ship." He goes, "Well, the spores sensed something that belonged to you, so you're there." He goes, "Still, you're technically on Discovery." So assuming it probably probed him, it probably realized, "Oh, this person, you know, truly
exists. He'll listen to this person."
Which is true, because in any case, he would totally listen to Hugh. But just that whole thing, and then picking those little things of, you know, this was always my favorite part of the day, and just that relationship, and you're just like, ugh, that's so harsh. And then like,
no, I'm not crying.
It's like, no, I'm not crying. You're crying. And then he says his final goodbye, goodbye to him. And he's like, well, I don't know what to do. And he's like, well, you're in a coma. All you have to do is just wake up. And he does. He just wakes up and, you know,
in the wrong place.
Well, no. It was the right one. Because remember, he goes, because the one that woke up was the other one, Mirror. And he goes, he did it. He goes, I'm awake. And then he he's on that ship. But then the other one wakes up and sees Tilly. And then Tilly's like, a lot's happened. And he's like, I know about Hugh. And he's like, but I need you right now. And then goes into that field and then finds the infection has spread to their spore field. So it's leading up to how are they getting home, basically, because that the spore drive and him connecting to it again would be the reason for them to make the jump. But they found that the final coordinates of that jump is missing. Because remember, he did all those 100 and some odd jumps. Mm-hmm. And they said the final the coordinates that got them there are missing. So
yeah, but we also know that old captain was fucking with the terminal when they were going on. Maybe I think he deleted it. That's what I think.
Or has
I think
it locked,
he deleted it at the end.
Or locks it.
Yeah.
Locks out of it. Yeah, so now we have that. So it pretty much leaves it there as like, okay, the spore field is, the infection has destroyed their field, so now what? Now it remains to be seen what's the mirror Paul gonna do against, you know, Paul Prime. And then the last storyline is between Lorca, Philippa, and Michael. So, you know, Michael brings Lorca to the Emperor, and they, you know, they greet her and stuff like that. And then they take, I like the fact they're like, where everybody kneels, and he's like, I'm not gonna kneel to you. And she just reaches over, grabs that staff, and then hits him in the gut.
Yeah.
And so they tell her that she needs to rest, but then bring her to her quarters. So eventually we find that, you know, Michael is to the meets with the Emperor, and the Emperor basically reveals that Michael and Lorca conspired against her, and that Michael and Lorca were together. And she eventually reveals that she's not the Michael that, you know, the Emperor knows, and goes into the explanation of, look, I'm from another universe, hands her Philippa's insignia, and, you know, says, you'll see the quantum signature is different, blah, blah, blah. And so she looks and goes, you know, she goes, and then she, well, after she gets the signature reading, she goes, oh, you know, I, okay, this, you know, this is correct. And then out of nowhere, takes this like fucking throwing star thing, throws it, and it circles the room, cutting into the head of every other person that's around the Emperor, except this one dude. And like, fucking, you know, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon moment right there. And Michael kind of looks like, what the fuck is going on? And then she gets the thing back, and then she looks at the one dude that's standing, and she's like, Lord Elling, can you keep a secret? And he's like, yes, Emperor. She's like, good. Clean this up. Never speak a word of it, and I'll make you governor of Andor.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, whatever you say.
Whatever you say. And
but then she goes in and explaining that it matches the quantum signature of the Defiant.
Right.
And all that. And she's starting to piece it together. And she's actually, like, while she still has things that she wants, she's being quite accommodating.
Yeah, I think
for an emperor.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I guess it's an ends to a means, I guess. But still, it was kind of. I didn't dislike it, but I was like, oh shit, she's being pretty helpful.
Well, I mean, at some instance, the thing is that Lorca's brought back to her. It kind of adds a little bit of the it to her, the information that they're gonna, the information that Michael has, is, you know, pretty important to her, because she's like, yeah, you know, we had all this stuff from the Defiant, but she can kind of answer some of the missing questions in there. But then she's like, of course I've got the, because Michael approached her. But I think it's because of that mother-daughter relationship that they supposedly have, because we find out that Philippa was the one that actually found Michael after her parents were murdered. So it wasn't Sarak like we had in the other universe, and raised her as her daughter. And then eventually, as she got older, you know, her desires had changed and suddenly moved over to Lorca, and then that became a thing. It would have been,
they were bumping uglies.
It was funny because, like, when she reacted to the fact that it was her and Lorca, I go, oh, it would have been so funny if she went ew. Like,
she kind of had that look on her face for a second though, like, what?
Yeah, like, seriously. Like, I can't believe I would be of that poor judgment to go there. And then, but what she finds out is that, the information of the Defiant has been redacted. She goes, because the Federation is essentially, everything that they're against, you know, why, you know, they don't want, you have the desire to do good and stuff like that, which Terrans had had rid themselves of over a millennia ago, and things along that lines. And it's true, because when you get into and then of course Adam's internet goes out, so let's see. He comes back on soon. Back.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm on my phone.
Oh, okay.
But I'm here.
All right. So, just a quick reminder in case you guys are listening to the audio quality. Which means I'll be using my recording of this conversation.
I'm still recording my conversation with you, so.
Oh, well, how?
Because my microphone's still on, and I'm sitting in front of it.
Oh, okay. Oh, because you're calling through your phone, I thought. I was like, oh. Okay, anyway. So basically what I was saying was that that they had redacted all the information about the Federation because, you know, tyrannical culture doesn't want to promote, you know, individualism and, you know, harmony and, you know, all that good stuff. So naturally they redacted that but what happens during this whole thing, and in conjunction with this, Lorca's getting tortured by this one dude who has a feather up his ass about torturing Lorca. But then, of course, as we figure out as we go through it, is that that's because Lorca was, you know, fucking his sister.
Yeah. Pretty hard from what it seems.
Yeah. And apparently she enjoyed it a lot, I guess.
Hey.
But, you know, because he's like, you know, my sister, you know, loved you and, you know, all this crap. He goes, just say her name. Say her name. And Lorca's doing his, like, you know, I don't, you know, kind of like, I'm not trying to lead on that I don't know what you're talking about. But at the same time, it coincides with the conversation going on between,
Didn't he say, like, so many women or something stupid?
He said, yeah, you know, there was always so many women. It's good to be the captain.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'll give you that one. So we start, you know, she starts, so back with, the Emperor and Michael. Michael notices something when, the Emperor opens up the blast shield and gets the light of the sun. She winces back and she's like, you know, you're sensitive to light. She goes, well, unlike, you know, light, basically saying that, yeah, but unlike your, you know, anybody from your universe,
it's the one genetic difference between us.
And then all of a sudden she starts like thinking and
the wheels start turning.
Yeah. And she's explaining what Lorca had said to her beforehand, you know, oh, you know, that, you know, it was destiny. And then it starts cutting back to all the scenes earlier where he's like, you know, everything he said, she says. And then she's like, oh, motherfucker.
And this sneaky bastard.
Yeah. And she's like, this captain isn't my captain. And then,
My captain.
Yeah, my captain, my captain. And then fucking what happens? Lorca almost kind of passes out in the agonizer. The guy opens it, pulls him out, and then pulls these defibrillators. And he's like, I can't let you die. It'll be my ass. And then fucking Lorca looks up and then beats the shit out of him and then kills him, putting the defibrillators to his head, which was pretty gnarly. And then he's like, right. Her name was... I was like, Anna or something like that. And he's like, yeah, I liked her too. She was good, but something better came along. And I was like, motherfucker. So
she's fucking all the chicks, yeah, bro.
So yeah, it turns out Lorca is the mirror Lorca, which means that either one, he switched places with the other Lorca, or the Lorca, the quote unquote Lorca that, you know, peered out of his ship, probably died in the original ship.
Yeah.
So, but then, what you doing over there?
What do you mean, what am I doing?
It's like poppy, like you're slapping the microphone or something.
No, I'm trying to, my internet came back up, but I might as well finish this podcast. But I found my, I plugged my headset into my phone.
Oh.
And so I was trying to make it, you know, better. Yeah. You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah. So those of you that, if you notice a different sound quality, it's because Adam's internet went out, you know, because.
But I stayed dedicated and I pulled that phone out.
So that's. And then the next episode, which obviously premieres tonight, when the night we're recording. So that's why we're a week off. Looking forward to that because that's 13, episode 13. Yeah, that'll be episode 13. And then after that, we'll just two more episodes left. So shit's about to get real. Well, shit's already getting real, basically.
Shit's getting super real. I can't wait to watch this new one. I'll probably watch it on the way to work tomorrow on the phone.
Yeah, in the middle of the buzz, you'd be like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit. I'll turn to someone I don't even know. You see this motherfucking shit? Y'all motherfuckers don't even know. I'll just holler. If y'all ain't watch Star Trek, y'all fucking up.
You look at the old lady next to you. They're going balls deep. That's what they're doing.
Balls deep.
Like I put it inside. That's how deep.
All these balls, motherfucker.
Because it's an old lady, you just keep saying it slower. Balls.
Balls. That little at the end.
That really sinks it in.
I just realized I went looking for the microphone to my headset, and then I forgot that it's a two wire apparatus, which means this microphone did absolutely nothing the entire time I had it plugged in. So, yeah.
Oh man. All right. So, yeah, I mean, this is one of the things that, and I was telling my brother this earlier. I was like, I kind of feel bad for people that, because let's be honest, the first 9 episodes had some good ones, but it was really kind of slow running. And if, you know, and for those people that maybe just was like, you know what, this is going nowhere, I bailed. And now, like, this shit's getting good. It's kind of like, you kind of feel bad for those people that maybe just, like, said, fuck it, forget it. You know, it's not for me. And then it's like, it's almost like, oh, for those of you that pushed through the whole season, here's the payoff. And then you got the people that are like, oh, fuck, are you serious? Like, they did that? It's like, ah. Oh. Because it kind of came out of nowhere in a lot of instances, the whole Mirror Universe.
Yeah, but it's easy to catch up to. Like, yeah. Just hop on and fucking watch them. That's a big of a deal.
However you wish to view it.
Right. I mean, as long as you're watching it.
Right. Don't care how you're watching it. Just long as you're watching it.
But yeah, I'm really liking the show. I want to see the fucking Defiant. That's my payoff.
What if they don't show it?
So then I'll be fucking angry. But I also wouldn't be surprised if they didn't show it, to be completely honest. So, because it's kind of, it'd be easier to not fuck up canon if you're not showing ships that we've already seen in other shit.
Yeah, but we haven't seen it in like 50 years.
Yeah, but you could quickly just go to Netflix and go see it.
Well, you know, I mean, they already showed the schematic, so we know that it looks like the original Constitution class.
I know, but is it Apple stored out? Or does it, when they go on the bridge, do you still hear the ding, 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 ding?
They're walking through the hallways looking through it, and you see a Genius store right there, the Genius bar as they pass.
Right.
I guess.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a little discombobulated with the. I'm staring at my phone, not the computer. So that's it for this week.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like what I'm doing, you have 2 ways to help out. One, you can make a one-time donation to make this show self-sustaining, or simply feed my pets, either through PayPal, Cash App, or Venmo. Check the show notes for details and links. Or two, you can share us on social media or review us on Apple Podcasts. This will make the algorithm gods promote our show to an unsuspecting public. You can also stalk me on Facebook, facebook.com/thelazygeeks1010. On all our other socials, Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky, Threads, and TikTok, @TheLazyGeeks. If you're old school, email me at themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. And if you want to read some news, blogs, or some of my other podcast content, check out the blog at thelazygeeks.com. So that's it for me this week. So until next time, 2 to beam up.